Today FM's Rove and Sam.
Ruby Rose, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
It's been many years since. I feel like it's been like properly years. Has it been years?
It's got to have been years, yeah. I mean, it's been at least five, but maybe Mate. Even six, seven.
Killing
Mate.
It. Killing
I
it.
I love that. That's what I miss the most is mate.
Okay, now, excuse my ignorance, but I need to get a bit of a timeline happening. Because, obviously, aware of your music history, aware of the DJing, the even the modelling to a certain extent, but where did the acting...
It was very musical modelling.
Where did the acting come from? That sort of seemed to be out of the blue, and then boom, next thing you know, international superstar. What happened? What did I miss?
You know, when I finished high school, I actually went to VCA, which is Victorian College of the Arts, and started studying acting there because that's what I really wanted to do. But one of the first jobs was to go to auditions and get rejected so that we could all talk about it. And one of my auditions was MTV, and I got that role. And I walked in and sort of said, this is what happened. I went, you know, went in and I auditioned, and there was 2,000 people, and now it's me. And they were like, wait, you got the part. I was like, yeah, so now what do I do? And I'm like, well, that is completely separate to anything that we're studying here. You choose if you want to do that job or not. And I was like, oh. So then I decided to do it. I decided, did I want to stay in Australia or stay in Melbourne rather and keep, you know, learning the craft of acting, or did I want to go to Sydney, which felt like Hollywood to me, and have a job? And that's what I went and did. And I thought I could use that to get into acting quite easily at some point. And instead I found it quite hindering, because being a host is so different to being an actor.
Sure.
And then I couldn't get a job as an actor to save my life, so I went to the States.
And now...
Well, it's much easier to get a job. Not.
And now, because we pre-recorded this, the damn lot of them, because look at you. besties with Vin Diesel, I'm seeing all over social media.
Like, he's heaven.
How are you allowed to... Well, you can, I guess, because... In many respects, you're not a threat, but you're snuggling up. You're getting all chummy with him. It looks adorable. He looks like he's a big teddy bear.
He is a big teddy bear. He's like my brother, and he's like my best friend, and he's like my pretend boyfriend. And his wife is amazing and loves our friendship as well. Like they fight over me as to who gets to hang out with me more. And they're both beautiful, and their kids are divine. And oh, it's like I have a whole new family that I never knew I really needed to have a happy life.
Now, did the friendship come from shooting the movie with him, or was it something that was there before?
No, I was just a really massive fan of Vin's. I loved watching Vin growing up. I loved Triple X, you know, growing up. And I just thought, I didn't know whether I wanted to be Vin or just like, I don't know. I just thought he was everything that I wanted to be. He was such a badass, but he was so charming, and he was... That smile, that laugh, he's just a badass. And when he cast me, you know, essentially there was a casting process, but he had a very big say in who was going to get the role of Adele. And it meant a lot to him, a great deal to him, because she's so integral to his, you know, team. And he really wanted me for it. And the second we met, it was just instant. We just became the best of friends. And of course, for my birthday, he took me axe throwing, which of course you go axe throwing.
Wait. Axe throwing. Now, I'm guessing that's not throwing cans of deodorant around. What is it?
No, it's actual axes, but proper full-size axes.
Why?
Not even pretend cute small
who
ones.
Who would suggest such a thing? Well, Vin Diesel, obviously.
Not even Vin. This is a Canadian thing, of all places. Who would have thought? Right? Nice, sweet Canadians. Someone set it up in their backyard, just against wood, against the tree, and then realized how much damage they were doing to the tree, so started to actually buy wood. And then everyone would have to come and pay $5. And then it became this big company that, like, now everyone goes in there. They have, like, big leagues, like really serious leagues where, you know, I got – when we walked in, we felt very – thank you for having us in your axe-throwing league. And we killed it that night. I killed my back. And for the beginning, I was just beating Vin. I was so good. I just thought I could beat Vin at something. And then, of course, I couldn't anymore because he has much more strength than me after a couple hours of axe-throwing.
Did he handle it well? Getting his ass handed to you in the axe throwing.
Yes.
He did?
Vin and I, yeah, he did. We're so competitive, though, on, like, so many different things. Even in the golf buggy when we were in the Dominican Republic, we rode around on golf buggies, and they only went, like, 5 kilometres an hour, and we would still see who could get there first. And we're like, it's just, it's ridiculous. And for my, I feel like he purposely did my birthday, because he knows that I now have to make up for it for his birthday. And he got me like 7 cakes to to the point that after the third, his sister Sam, who works on the production as well, was like, "Vin, we can't give her any more cakes. Like she feels like she's had enough cakes now. Every day was still my birthday for 10 days, and one of them was CDJs, you know, like turntables." And I walked past them 4 or 5 times, and everyone was like, "She's seen it. She's seen the cake." And I had no idea. I thought they were actual decks that were set up. And I thought, "Oh, they better not be expecting me to DJ. I'm not DJing. I'm busy." And
then I found out by cake five, you just assume they're done.
Yeah, by cake five, you're also kind of embarrassed because you're sort of like, "I know, guy. He's such a loving guy. He'd get all the production to stop, and we would all go and accept my birthday cake." And I would feel, after a while, I was just feeling quite shy about it, going, "Guys, I know my birthday was last week, but Vin has got me another cake and I'm really proud of it. Look, it's in the shape of a rose." He's just, he's everything.
Beautiful. Now, also, I'm also very happy because we were talking with the girls from the Veronicas, which, holy shit. I saw the clip, I'll say recently, it was yesterday. So you've put together the new clip for the Veronicas. It is so sexy. It is hot. It is you and Jess and all your idea, which I think is pure genius. Was it just to score with her? Because it worked.
I mean, obviously, because they you know, I didn't make any money off of it. So it was just, no, it was, look, I heard the song, fell in love with it. Then when they were going to do the video and wanted me to be in it, it kind of felt like, well, if I'm going to be in it, I might as well be writing it and have a creative input. And I love directing, and I haven't been able to be that hands-on since I did Break Free, which ironically is the last short film I did that got me into the US market. And so I wrote a treatment, and we all loved it, and we'd all signed off on it. And then the night before, I said, "Actually, guys, it's not going to work for me. I've changed the whole entire thing, but I'll see you when you land." Because my original treatment, which I won't give away too much in case I need it for something another time, but it involved a car, a lot to do with cars. And then I went back and watched their videos and saw how often they've used cars. And I was like, "Oh no, I want it to be different to anything they've ever done." So insert a whole lot of other stuff that I made up pretty much the night before.
So I mean, I know you guys had a relationship of sorts before, but was it shooting the clip that kind of kicked it into gear? Because when we had Jess on the show, this is what she said about it.
"We shot this music video and I don't know, something changed for us, and she's just incredible, and I just had to tell her how I felt." And
did you use the love word?
You guys.
I've used it a few times, and now I'm like having the panic where I'm like, "Oh my God, have I said it too much? Is it too soon?"
Is it love?
Oh, I see she's questioning our relationship there in the 3 minute mark.
Is it too soon? So is it love, Ruby Rose?
Yeah, it's definitely love. It's definitely love. Yeah, that it definitely happened during the filming. It was very surprising for everybody involved, I think, except for Lisa. Lisa was always just like, "I knew this would happen. I knew this would happen. This was the point. This was always the point." I'm like, "Lisa, you're some crazy mastermind over there."
But is it also kind of weird because you're directing yourself, really getting it on? It's some very steamy stuff. It's a wonderful story that's being told in it as well. There's tongues, there's lips, there's showers. It's fantastic.
So you're a fan. What I'm hearing here is
that
you like
the
video.
And then there's other things as well.
Yeah,
but
you know, it
must be a weird sensation to go, "Well, this is all my doing."
Now I know why directors direct, you know. No, I'm just
kidding. For sure.
I'm just kidding. it was fun. I mean, the point was that I wanted there to be, you know, 3/3, and the first third to be this really love at first sight, beautiful, pure relationship. And then, you know, with one mistake made, it becomes a little bit more dysfunctional until it is an incredibly unhealthy relationship. And in that, one of the ways to display it was the difference in how they were intimate with one another. So the beginning was so cute and lovable and sweet and light and fresh. And then the midway was sort of a bit more kind of rough and angsty and a bit more confused. And then at the end, it was a lot more, they were just disconnected and it was a bit more unhealthy, I think. And in the process, I don't think we knew it was going to come across quite as authentic looking as it did, because obviously we fell in love as we were shooting the film. So it just kind of took on a mind of its own. Trust me, we used as little footage from those scenes as humanly possible. I really try to avoid it.
One hell of a Christmas tape at the end of this one. There's also a small part of the clip that I feel deals with prejudice a little bit. There's a scene with the two of you at a bar, and then your character, I guess, gets beaten up, and I think there's that sort of prejudice still, it seems, nowadays. I mean, holy cow, what's just happened, both for you being in the States at the moment with the rise of Trumpageddon, but also here in Australia, where it just seems we're still so backwards when it comes to marriage equality. Where do you feel you sit right now? Thank God you're in New Zealand for part of the year, because it seems that's the only sane place to be. How do you feel as a proud gay woman to find where you can be now?
You know, that's a really good question. I think that what I found it really empowering about, you know, this doing this video, for instance, is the timing was really spectacular, because we didn't really know what we were going to create until very close to making it. Then when we made it and everything happened politically and both in Australia and in the United States, it did make me reflect on that, and where I'd gotten some of my inspiration for the film was, you know, Boys Don't Cry. There was a little bit of Basketball Diaries elements in there, and another film called If These Walls Could Talk Too. And I was looking at how they were films that were set so long ago, but the topics that were, you know, incorporated in them are still stories that are being told now. And I felt really quite proud to be releasing this video for people, because when I was younger, the only group I'd ever seen do anything with like a same-sex relationship was like Tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
And that was all I had.
Russian Eurovision contestants.
Right. And so I thought, well, you know, at the very least, yes, the video is, you know, people call it raunchy or steamy or hot or whatever, but for some people, they're going to be able to watch this and see a same-sex relationship in a video, which for every other video, probably 80% of them are relationships, but they're just with a guy and a girl, and they'll be kissing or making out or having their whatever kind of play out in this 3.5 minutes. And yet this becomes really controversial because it's two women, which I find interesting, because everyone sort of thinks it's almost like explicit, but I've definitely not done anything that any other pop star hasn't done with a male, you know, counterpart.
Good point. Very good point.
But, you know, and that the cool thing about everywhere that I think I stand right now and reflect on where the world is at is just, it has been a big wake-up call for everybody to think about what means something to them and what, you know, what fight they want to put their energy behind. And a lot of people are choosing love, and a lot of people are choosing to really take care of their fellow human. And that, I think, is really special to watch happen. And I found it very inspiring watching how people are coming together. And, you know, in XXX, that's literally what our team is. Our team is from all over the world. It's a hugely international cast, and we are fighting the good fight, and we are the minority. And, you know, I think that it was never planned to be that way. XXX was written a long time ago. We filmed it way before, you know, now. But I just think it's beautiful that we get to have done that in a film, and playing that character and finding your inspiration in different people in movies or in songs or in real life or in your family is what we all need to do now, if we can't be inspired by somebody that is potentially leading a country, you know, or if you are inspired by that person, great. And what is it that inspires you? But just recognizing those things and following your heart.
Well, Ruby Rose, whether it be US President or Australian Prime Minister, you have my vote.
Oh, I would absolutely vote for you, though. Real talk.
Okay, I'll be your backup. I'll just stand in the background and just hope that I don't say anything wrong.
It'll be Ruby and Rove.
Oh,
I love this.
Meant to happen. I mean, you're so wonderful. I named my kid after you. There you go.
Yeah, it'll be Ruby and Rove.
Ruby and Rove.
Sounds like someone saying Ruby Rose with the Scooby Doo voice. Ruby Rove.
Ruby Rove. Ruby Rove. Well, look,
that's our slogan.
At the risk of sounding like an old patronising man, I could not be prouder of you, and congratulations on all your success and more to come as well. Not just all the films you've got coming up, another one with Keanu Reeves, Orange is the New Black. He's hoping for more of that as well. But for now, XXX, Return of Xander Cage. We won't see it till next year, but we couldn't be more excited. Thank you very much for talking. Great to catch up with you, Ruby Rose.
Thank you, Rove, and thank you for believing in me when not that many people did. You were always such a believer, and I really will never forget that. And that's why your face is such a beacon of light for me.